Blog Talk Radio.
My God is real. He is real in my soul. My God is real. He has washed and made me whole. His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real. I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real. He's real in my soul. My God is real. I can feel He made me whole. His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real. I can feel Him in my soul. There are some things that I may not know. There are some places that I just can't go. But one thing for sure, my God is real. My God is real. I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real. He's real in my soul. My God is real. He has washed and made me whole. And His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real. I can feel Him in my soul.
Praise the Lord. This is Macedonian Call around the globe. We are coming to you from Springboro, Ohio. And it is sure a joy to be with you tonight. And thank you all for listening. If you want to be a part of this broadcast, we encourage you to call in, give your testimony. It is 347-989-8862. Again, it is 347-989-8862. Tonight's subject is going to be on faith. And we want our panelists to go with however the Lord leads them. They don't have to stick with the subject faith, but that's we usually try to get a subject so that everybody kind of knows which way to study. We pray about the subject, and but again, whatever the Lord lays on your heart, we encourage you to just obey God. And you know, we've got lots of prayer requests, but first and most of all, I want to asked you to pray for Sister Florence Sinners, her family. Pray for the family. Sister Florence passed away on Monday, October the 28th. So remember that family. The viewing and the funeral is going to be tomorrow. So please remember them. And also Mr. Burgess down in New Orleans. I went to school with his daughter, Diana Burgess. She's married now. She has a married name, but I don't remember now how to say it. But he had also passed away, so I knew them. I knew Mr. Burgess as a teenager. So remember his family. He passed, I believe it was on Tuesday. And also remember Lolanda, Sister Lolanda Hoskin Chastain. She passed away also on Monday, on October 28th. Remember her family, her loved ones, her friends. Remember those three requests there. It's you know, and I believe all of them. I know Sister Florence and Sister Lolanda, I know they were truly saved. And I hope and pray that Mr. Burgess was. I haven't talked to the family, but just remember everybody. And pray for the ministers that minister the funeral as well, that they can touch the hearts of the ones that are that have lost their loved ones, and if they're not ready to go, that they'll get their hearts ready to go be with Jesus someday. Pray for Deborah Smith. She says, please pray for her daughter, Jordan. Her seizures are getting much worse and more frequent. So pray for Deborah's daughter, Jordan. Also, Kim Hargrove Adams says, pray for her mom. They found nodules on her thyroid, and she is having problems with her diabetes. And also, Sister Kim says She met a lady today with stage 4 of bone cancer. Her name is Wendy Gregory. So remember Wendy Gregory also in your prayers, and also Sister Kim's mom. So Sister Amanda Benson, she says, remember her. She has an unspoken request. Sister Gladys Dittmer, she says, remember her cousin Jimmy Harrison, who has came out of a coma. We prayed for him a few weeks ago, and praise the Lord, he has come out of a coma. If I'm not mistaken, there was a car accident he was involved in, and he went into a coma. He needs complete healing. So we thank you all for your prayers on that. Jerry Bowens, he says, pray for his mother from last week. I remember that request. He's a cousin of mine. Keep my Aunt Jana in your prayers. Keith Howard says his grandson is having a hard time learning in school. He wants to know if we'll pray for him, and he says thank you very much. So we're going to pray for Kenneth Howard's grandson. Sarah Grubb, she's a young lady we go to church with here in Middletown, Ohio, and she has a friend named Olivia. She has cancer, and she is a senior in high school. She really needs a touch of God. She goes for surgery next week. As she remembered, she said she should be cancer-free. And it looks like it's liver cancer. So remember Olivia. Praise God. Lots to pray about. And also Randy Richardson. He called me the other night. He had a question. I'm in the medical field and not claiming to be anything, but sound to me like he was having many strokes, and sure enough, he had went to the hospital, and they kept him, and he has a blockage in his, I believe it's the carotid artery, the blood that flows to the head, and that's 100% blocked from what I understand, and it was causing him to have many strokes. So keep Brother Randy Richardson in your prayer. Sister Betsy is his wife there in Chillicothe, Ohio. So a whole bunch to pray about, and as the requests come in, we're going to continue to turn those in, and at this time, we're going to have Sister Rachel Green. She's our 10-year-old daughter, and she's going to come in, and she's going to obey God and read her scripture for us.
And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him. Male and female created them.
Praise the Lord. She does a good job. I'm proud of her. I would like to open this up with prayer. If we would, just go ahead and let's pray for the broadcast tonight. There's many listeners throughout the land, across the world. So let's go to prayer. Lord God, in the name of Jesus,
Father, we thank you, God, for all that's going
on.
Over to your throne room this day, Father God. We pray, Father God, that you touch and heal each and every need. Father God, reach down and touch each every need. Father God,
Lord, if the one that's not saved, there's many not saved.
You know each and every one
that you would save them, Lord, tonight. If the words you say, Lord, let it be anointed, Lord,
I pray, Father,
in the name of Jesus, and how
you would bless each and every one that hears tonight, Father, open their heart
and
ears.
Thank you, Lord, for all
salvation.
Praise God. Again, if you want to be a part of this broadcast, it is 347-989-8862. Again, it's 347-989-8862. There's other ways you can listen. If you're hearing me tell the phone number, you're either listening by Blog Talk Radio or you're listening through the internet with Facebook. So if you'd like to call and give a testimony, definitely call in. If you want to email us with a prayer request and you want to keep it private, we won't mention your name if you don't want us to. It is heisrisen38@aol.com. Again, it is heisrisen38@aol.com. And at this time, we're going to have 661 come in and tell us who you are and where you're located. Six six one 7 4 8. Come in and tell us who you are and where you're located.
Thank you, Sister Joanna. I praise God for the opportunity that you've invited me to. I apologize for the delay in jumping in here. The area code is 606, but that's okay. Going through Skype, it makes it a different number. I praise God for joining in with you today. It's been on my heart about the woman. Father God, give me help tonight and deliver this message about the woman with the issue of blood. Tonight I wanted to speak, Sister Joanna, in chapter 5, verse 25, and I'll be going down through 34.
Amen.
And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, and said, who touched my clothes? He asked this question. And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. Sister Joanne, I believe that this woman was desperate at this point. I've sung a song before that the answer's on the way. You know, we're not to give up when we cry out to God. And at this point, this woman was desperate to reach Jesus. He knew, and she knew of the miracles of Jesus, and she felt like in her heart, if I just reached the hem of his garment, if I can press through the crowd, and I'm sure it was not easy, but even though in her situation, she was to cry out, unclean, unclean, but still yet, she knew she had to reach the Master, and she pushed through that crowd, and she allowed the people to push her, but somehow she reached the hem of Jesus' garment. In that minute in time, when she reached the bottom of his garment, I believe that virtue left the Jesus' body, and I believe it went into her and healed her completely. And I thank God for the healing of the Lord. And that's what I wanted to speak about a little bit tonight. I thank God for his healings, because he is the healer. He's the only healer. Yes, she sought many physicians, but as the Word of God says, she grew worse and worse, and sometimes that's the situation. Sometimes God will lead us to a doctor that will help us, and sometimes we don't understand why our healing doesn't come right away, but sometimes God will let it manifest slowly. But in this situation, it was instantaneous, and I praise God for that. It gives us hope, and that's one thing I wanted to read on further in the Word, down in the scripture of Hebrews 11:6, he said, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And I believe on this day and hour that she really sought the Lord, and she truly knew in her heart, if I can just reach him, if I can touch this man of God, I know that I can be healed. And that's what she sought for, and God delivered, and the Lord delivered her.
And I thank God for that. When we anoint brothers and sisters in the Lord and you pray over them when they're sick, we know that a feeling of virtue leaves our bodies. And I thank God for that. And I wanted to read another scripture. I don't want to take up too much time. But in Mark 11, chapter 11, verses 22 through 24, it says, "And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." I believe, Sister Green, that when we seek God and we cry out to him for our healings and whatever our needs are, I know in my heart, because he's done it so many times for me, that he will deliver our problem. He will reach out to us. We receive it into our spirits, and I know by faith that he will move upon our situation. I also wanted to speak about the healings that Jesus did for me.
Amen.
Years ago in 2004, it became a very difficult problem to me. We'd face trial after trial with seizures. And I want to speak out, if that one sister is listening regarding her daughter having seizure, that there is hope. In my situation in 2004, I'd go to the house of God. I'd preach the word. And it seems like sometimes that the enemy will buffet you and attack your body either before you preach or when you get off the pulpit. I experienced this last Sunday. But back to what I was saying, years ago in 2004, it became debilitating for me. I had seizures just like this little girl is, and it seemed like I'd go to doctor after doctor. They'd do CAT scans, and they'd do MRIs, but it wasn't until they finally did a sleep study and an MRI, they located the true problem in my brain. There were three spots that misfired, and I praise God that this doctor was diligent about finding out the problem in my brain. But he didn't do only that, but he did do surgeries for me. And in 2004, he began the first surgery. Between 2004 and 2007, I went through 9 brain surgeries within, in and around my brain. But I praise God, because even though I didn't understand, there are many times on my bedside I'd say, "Lord, I don't understand, but I trust you." And there are times in our life that we get to that point. We go through trials and we wonder, "Well, Lord, why am I going through this?" But our pain is never in vain. I know that what I went through and what my family experienced at that time, he's going to use for his glory. And I give him all glory today, because I no longer have those seizures. I thank God for that. They wanted to take out those three areas, and two of them they were able to do successfully. But the third area they would have taken care of would have affected my speech. And my husband spoke up and said, "No, you can't do that, because she's a minister of God." And I thank God that even though that third area was not taken out, God delivered me of those seizures, and I praise him for that today. And I plead the blood over anyone today that's having seizures or any kind of medical problems. I know, yes, people go to doctors, but my main doctor is Father God. I thank him because he reaches down where we're at, and I thank him he's a delivering God, and he will come where we are, and he will see to it that the blood that was shed on Calvary will touch us and deliver us of our problem. Many times we wonder, "Lord, why are we getting all these bills, and why are we having all these difficulties?" But God works out for our good. He will show us favor in the midst of the storm. He will make the storm cease. And that's another thing I wanted to speak about, and I'll try not to take any more time. I just pray I can be a witness to someone who's going through a struggle right now to know that God is our deliverer. He is our true healer, and I thank him for that. Last night, the winds were going 70 miles per hour close by the house. I knew in my spirit I had peace, and I thanked him for that. I said, "Lord, Watch over my family and watch over my household. Watch over my neighbor's home. And this morning I went to bed and slept on. The family member stayed up with candlelight, but I had my candlelight inside my spirit. And I thank him I was able to sleep like a baby. The storm ceased after I spoke that prayer, and he brought peace to that storm, and it didn't even touch the house. Our neighbors, their houses were fine. And the funniest thing was, is our neighbors put up corn stalks, and they didn't even blow over. God is a good God. I trust him, and I praise him today, because he takes care of me. He takes care of my family. And for those out there that have babies laying on their bed tonight that are running the fever, when my children were little, I could lay hands on them, Sister Green, and they'd recover. Just be, not by my power, but by the Lord Jesus' power. And I thank him for that. And that's basically what I had tonight. I wanted to bring forth the word of God, because I know in that day and hour when that woman had this problem with the issue of blood, she didn't know where else to turn to. And sometimes each of us go through that in our lives. We think, Lord, I don't even know where to go anymore. But he said he'd be the peace in our storm. And I thank him for that. And the one scripture I go to, I won't read it, but maybe those saints out there, and even if you just have a Bible in your house, I cling to the scriptures of 91 all the way through the chapter of Psalm 91. It brings deliverance and it brings peace, and there are times I go to my Word of God, and that's where I bring peace. God will speak to us in the Word of God if we hold on to it. That's basically what I had, Sister Joanna. I wanted to speak to the people that are listening tonight and let them know our true healer is Jesus. He died a high price for each of us, and he let us know that he would deliver us. He carried our griefs and our burdens that day that he hung on the cross, and I thank him for that. I praise God today for all he's done for me. I thank God for this broadcast, too, because it does reach out to many, and I pray it touches many, many people, Sister Green.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, sister. Glad to stay with us, if you will. There, wonderful testimony and very good job. You know, the word's going out and it won't return void. Somebody out there needs to hear exactly what you said. And I can think of three people right now. Little Jordan is one of them, and that has seizures. Another one is Patty Little at our church, and another one, Sister Flip. Sister Phyllis Center's sister, her name is Ruth Montgomery. She also has seizures. And you know, there's somebody probably over, no doubt, listening under the sound of our voice, maybe in a third world country that doesn't have access to doctors like we do with the technology that we have here in America. And they need to go by faith, and they need to give their heart to the Lord. And maybe they've already gave their heart to God, but you know, just that faith that you were speaking of, the grain of a mustard seed, and talking about the woman with the issue of blood, you know, the virtue that came from Jesus that she pulled from the Lord. And he said, who touched me? And the disciples, they said, you know who touched you. And, you know, God is good, Sister Gladys. He's a miracle-working God. He's a healer tonight, folks. And right now we're going to have 423, come in, tell us who you are and where you're located.
Sister Green?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't know I had my phone on pause. I didn't know if I cut myself off or not. This is Evangelist Lloyd Yearwood down here in Madisonville, Tennessee. You can just go ahead and we're listening for a while.
Okay, Brother Yearwood, appreciate you all calling in, and you and Sister Betty and Sister Gladys, get yourself some more scriptures there, if you will, sis. And we'll go ahead and we're going to play this here song. Praise God.
As I kneel in the dark, in the middle of the night, I'm praying for a source and the answer behind. Lord, I see another valley, it's out in front of me. I'm afraid I won't be able, and I'm looking in the field. But he said, I walked on the water.
God, that's Brother Jeremiah Yoakum. He's in Danville, Kentucky. If you'd like to get a hold of him, it's jeremiah.com and jeremiahyoakum.com, and you can get a hold of his CDs there. They'll sure bless you. So we're talking on faith tonight, and we just heard Sister Gladys Dittmer come on and give her testimony and share scriptures with us, and she sure is a blessing, I tell you. God is a healer. She is a miracle, a walking miracle. And what a great testimony that she has to share. And, you know, I believe that's what sometimes we go through things, and I believe we don't know why sometimes we go through what we go through. But I believe it's for God to be the glory. The little boy that grew up blind from his birth, they asked who did sin, his parents or did he sin? And, you know, it was for the glory of God is why he got his healing and the way things had happened. And you know, he told it. He said, they asked him, you know, who did this? And he said, I don't know. He says, but well, I was blind, but now I see. Praise God. So he's testifying. And the woman at the well, she was there, and she was a Samaritan woman. And after Jesus had told her things about herself, and she realized he was the Messiah, she went out to the city and said, come see a man. So you know where to testify when God does something for us. And you know, Sister Gladys, whoever thought that it would go worldwide? And you know, you was there the night, I believe you were there, there at Brother Gifford's in Dayton, Ohio, on Rural Boulevard in 1993, on June 9th of 1993, when I gave my heart to God. And Brother Wayne Gifford preached that message, and I was ready. You know, I went to church, and I thought that, you know, that would probably was going to happen because I had such a tender heart to the Lord. And my mother had been asking me for probably a few years to ask me to go, and I wouldn't go with her. And the day that I said I'd go, I had it in my heart. I was determined that tonight was the night. praise the Lord. And I tell you, I've gone too far to turn back now, and I don't plan on going back, but I never dreamed that we would be sitting here together, you in Kentucky and me in Ohio, and we work together to preach God's word to third world countries throughout the whole land of what God has done for us. God is good. I tell you, he's awesome. He's a great God. Hallelujah. If you'd like to call in this broadcast, 347-989-8862. Again, it's 347-989-8862. And this time we're going to have Brother Green come in, and he's going to deliver his message, and then Brother Yearwood, get ready. Praise God.
It's good to be with you tonight. It's good to be on the winning side. You know, if we hold on to God, we're going to heaven one of these days. And we're talking tonight on faith, and, you know, we're going to have to keep the faith. Once we have received faith through Jesus Christ and we believe in him, now it's up to us to keep that faith. And we cannot let it go. We can't turn away from God. If we turn away from God, we'll be lost. But if we hold on to him, we'll have eternal life. And I want to start tonight with John chapter 20. I want to read a few scriptures there in the 20th chapter. And I'd like for you, if you have your Bible, turn to the 24th verse of John 20. I want to start reading right there. And this is talking about Thomas. And we're talking about faith tonight. It says here, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach thither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach thither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Well, I'm talking tonight about faith, and we're preaching tonight on faith. And faith, like our sister said earlier there, that without faith it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of things not seen. He's a rewarder of them that trust in him and believe in him. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, praise God. And I'll tell you, if we don't seek God in this day which we're living, we're liable to come up short if we don't seek God, if we don't stay in the Word of God. You know, faith, we told last week, Romans 10:17, how that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we're still on that subject tonight. We're still preaching faith that comes from the Word of God. And it comes from heaven. It's not something somebody can conjure up or, just think up somewhere, but it must be based upon the Word of God. And, Thomas believed after he saw the nail prints in his hands and in his feet, and he had made the statement, I will not believe. until I see those prints in his hands and in his feet. And he said in verse 27, then saith Jesus came in the room there, and the door was shut, and Jesus stood in the midst in verse 26 and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. You see, he had heard the statement. Even though he was not there in the room with him, he knew what Thomas had said. And you know, the Bible says that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And I believe it's Hebrews 4 and 12. And he is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. I'm thinking about that woman with the issue of blood. You know, one place there it said in the Scripture that she said, if I may but touch the hem of his garment. And in the Scripture there, it said that she said within herself, if I may but touch the hem of his garment. So she said, I shall be made whole. And God understands our thoughts. He can read the thoughts of our heart. He understands what we're thinking. And he knows all about us. We can't hide anything from him. Over there, I believe it's Hebrews 4:12. It says that he's a discerner not only of the thoughts and intents of the heart, but all things are naked and open unto him with which we have to do. In other words, we're dealing with God. We're dealing with the Word of God. And the Word of God is alive. It's quick and powerful. And faith comes by hearing the Word. And we're talking about Thomas here. And the Bible said in verse 30, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written. Everything Jesus did was not written down, but the things that are written down that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, there in verse 31, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. We must believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and we must, of course, repent of our sin and believe the gospel. And over there in Acts, I think it's 2:38 and 9, it says to repent and believe the gospel, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises to you, your children, all that are far off, and even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And, you know, he's calling tonight out there, if you're listening into this radio broadcast. He's calling you, and he knows where you're at. Christ has died for your sins already. 2,000 years ago on a cross there at Calvary, on Calvary's mountain. It's called Mount Calvary. Just outside of Jerusalem, in a place called the Skull there, they crucified the Lord, and he was crucified that he might bear our sins in his own body. He was the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. I know we say this a lot, but we cannot get away from it because he is our supreme sacrifice.
Amen.
We're free tonight. Because Christ died for our sins. But we're only free if we accept the pardon that Christ paid for us. And we're talking about faith. Thomas said, I will not believe. He made up his mind. He said, I'm not going to believe. They said, Jesus is alive. He's risen from the dead. But Thomas said, I'm not going to believe. I'm not going to believe unless I see the nail prints. And I'll know him if I see the nail prints in his hand, and I see where they placed the spear in his side, then I'll believe, because I'll know it really is the Lord that was crucified on that cross. And so Jesus made the statement, said, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Well, blessed are they it goes on to say, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Well, I have not seen the nail prints in his hands and in his feet. I have not seen where they placed the spear in his side, but yet I believe. And I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God because I have read the Scriptures, studied the Scriptures. I've seen what the Lord can do. You know, He is a healer. I came into church and I was lost and I was a sinner young man at that time. I was a sinner man and I watched and I heard the gospel preached and I watched to see what was going on. And I heard people testifying how they'd been healed of many things, that they had received miracles and they had received things that the doctors couldn't help them with. And I witnessed that. I had a friend had one leg shorter than the other, and the Lord healed him right there in the service one night. And he had a bad back also, and God healed his back and lengthened his leg all at the same time. And I knew that that was real. And I knew that there had to be some kind of power to do that. There had to be something real about this gospel. And I began to search the Scriptures to see if these things that they were saying were true. And I'm telling you, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When we begin to get into Scriptures, we should take time to find out if we want to be honest with ourselves. We ought to examine the evidence. It's what these preachers and pastors and evangelists and is what they're preaching. Is there anything to this? Or are they just, telling these things? Is it valid? Is this true? And, you know, I began to search myself, and I began to find out that it was true. I began to see where he healed the sick, and later on I found out that he could heal the sick because I was healed myself of different things, and I was healed of a couple things that I took medicine for, and it wasn't doing me no good. And a man of God came to my house, the pastor, laid hands on me, prayed for me, read the 103rd Psalm to me, and where it tells us there in the 103rd Psalm, not to forget all his benefits. He forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all thy diseases. And he prayed a little prayer, and he went on. I went back to bed, and just a little while, I felt that pain leaving my body just like you'd pull up. Actually, I had a problem with my eye. It had swelled up. And you know that eye was healed that day, and it felt like a ball of string, and somebody was pulling that string out of my eye, and it was going up and into the air like a steady pull, and it felt like my eye was just getting smaller and smaller, and that's exactly what was happening. And the next day I was completely healed, and I thank God that my vision came back and I was healed of that whatever that was. And the Bible tells us in Mark chapter 16 that these signs shall follow them that believe. And one of those signs is healing the sick, laying hands on the sick and they shall recover. And the last part of that scripture, and I believe it's 16th chapter of Mark, and I was laying there on the bed and I felt that pain of leaving. And that scripture came to me where it says that they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And I want to read a little bit to you here. Praise God. I'm in the wrong chapter. Praise God. But nevertheless, I was healed that day, and the preacher had already prayed for me. He had already laid hands on me. He had read the scripture, and he had left the house, and he was gone for maybe a half hour or an hour. I can't tell you how long it was. And as soon as he left, I went back to bed. I got into bed because I was sick. I was still sick. And it was not an instant healing. It was not a miracle. It was a healing. And Mark 15th chapter, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So he's saying, preach the gospel. Preach the truth to them. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Now, we don't drink deadly things on purpose, I'll tell you that. And we don't go try to find us a copperhead or a water moccasin to pick it up. You know, Peter shook that snake off into the fire. That's there in the book of Acts, about the 27th, somewhere along there, chapter of Acts, and he felt no harm. But he didn't catch it and put it in a box and take it home with him so he could carry it around and show people he could handle snakes. But we'll get off of that. But and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And that's exactly what happened to me. And in the 19th verse, and this 19th and 20th, the last two verses of this book of Mark, it says, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. And that's what he done. The pastor came to my house. He read the 103rd Psalm, part of it to me there. He got me by the hand. He prayed for me. And he left. He knew I was sick, so he didn't stay around. He left. He had to go visit some people in the hospital. And after he left, the Lord healed me. But I want to get on into some scripture, but this is very important scriptures. And there's people even trying to say that this ain't even supposed to be in the Bible. Well, I'm keeping my King James Bible because I don't want them giving me something that don't have the whole Word of God in it. You know what I'm saying? So we're going a little farther here. So, you know, we're talking about Thomas. I don't think God is really pleased with the Thomas kind of faith. He's not pleased with that. He said, more blessed are them that believe and have not seen. So they're putting their faith in what the Word of God says. When Jesus came down here, he gave us his Word. But before I get into that, I want to turn over to Romans chapter 4. I want to read a little bit there in Romans. It's talking about Abraham's faith. In Romans 4:17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So, Abraham had a different kind of faith than what Thomas had. Abraham had the kind of faith that you and I have today. And that kind of faith believes what God's Word says. God spoke to Abraham, said, you're going to have a son. And you know the promise, what the promise was. And through him, all the nations of the world would be blessed. Well, Abraham believed God. And Abraham was getting older and older. And it hadn't come to pass. But Abraham, the Bible says here, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He had plenty of opportunity to let unbelief get a hold on him. You know, no doubt the devil was probably saying, Abraham, you're never going to have a son. Abraham, you're getting too old. Look at you. Look at you, Abraham. You can't have no son. But the Bible said, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He gave glory to God. I believe he kept telling people around him, I'm going to have a son. God promised it. He knew that God had promised it, and he was not going to back up on what God had promised. Many times we fail to receive what we have need of because we let down and we give up on the promise. And the Bible said, in being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. And he believed God, you see. It's hard to please God. I mean, the Bible said it's impossible to please him if we don't have faith. We must have faith. It's not something, you know, that's optional for the Christian person. But we must believe that God will do that he said he'd do. Praise God. It says here, who against hope believed in hope, in verse 18, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. In other words, God had said, Abraham, you're going to have a son, and all the nations of the world is going to be blessed through this son. And Abraham, you know, it says here that he staggered not, but we know the story. The Bible don't try to hide it, the mistakes that Abraham made. But even though he made mistakes, he had faith. And sometimes we might make mistakes, and I know that we do because we're human. But we must, we've got to clean up our mistakes. We've got to get back. If we sin, we've got to get back down to business with God. We got to get ourselves straightened back up and get out of sin. We cannot continue in sin that grace may abound. And if we're wanting promises from God, we're wanting things for God to do for us, then we must continue in the faith. We must continue to fight the good fight of faith. And Abraham fought that fight for a long time before he ever got the promise. You know, Job was a patient man. And Job, the Bible tells us to consider the patience of Job. Job was patient. Everything was going wrong. It didn't look like God was even nowhere to be seen, nowhere around him. He had lost everything he had. He got down to nothing. It looked like the end of the road, that he was going to die. He was sick, close to death, and the devil was trying to kill him. But God said, no, you can't kill him. Faith is tried. Faith will be tried. The Bible said one place there, something about the trying of your faith, work of patience, that you have need of patience. After that, you have done the will of God that you might receive the promise. God is not like, they got this thing going, about Santa Claus. Well, Santa Claus can't give you nothing, praise God. But Jesus don't work like that. And he won't come down your chimney and, he might come any way he wants to. I'll just put it that way. But he'll be there right on time. And I'm going to say a few more things here. There's two kinds of faith, and Thomas had a natural faith. He wanted to believe what he could see. what he could feel. He said, I'm going to have to not only see these prints, I'm going to have to put my fingers in the print. Not only do I want to see them, I want to feel them. And Thomas had a natural faith, and everybody's got a natural faith. The things they can see and the things they can hear and smell and touch and taste, and that's the natural man. But the spiritual man is on the inside of you, and he's the real person is on the inside. Praise God. I was thinking we always want to see something, and then we'll believe. But Abraham believed without seeing. And claiming the promises of God, you must claim the promises of God. If you've got promises that God gave you, and he gave them in the Word of God, he gave you promises, you're going to have to say, it belongs to me, and you're going to have to stake your claim. Isaiah 53:1 says, who hath believed our report? That's a question. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? That's another question. This is Isaiah 53:1. Well, who hath believed our report? I'll tell you tonight, we must hear the Word of God, and we must believe it. We must, you know, I was thinking about Thomas. Thomas said, I won't believe. Well, it was his will talking there. He had decided, I won't believe. Well, I'm telling you tonight, you can decide that you will believe. You must believe. For you to be saved, you must believe that Christ died for your sins on the cross. That he was wounded for our transgressions, just like the Bible says. I think it's 1 Corinthians 15. Paul said, we must believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection. We must do that. For us to be saved, we've got to do that. We not only have to believe it when we start out in our salvation, but we have to believe it right up to the end. And I'll read it to you here in the 15th chapter, 1 Corinthians. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. See, he said you could believe in vain if you didn't keep, you know, the Word of God, if you didn't keep what he had preached unto them. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. See, it was according to the Scriptures. They had the Scriptures. They had the Word on this. They had the promise of this, how that Christ died and how he rose again. It says here in verse 4, and that he was buried. Let me go back to 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's very important, according to the Scriptures. People think we don't have the Bible today, but we do. We have the Word of God. We have the Scripture on it. One place Paul said, nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? When they had questions about things, they looked to the Word of God, and that was the final authority, what the Word says. And it should be final authority with us. It should be a final authority. We should claim the promises of God. We should do our very best and fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on these promises. I know the Bible says lay hold on eternal life, but there are other promises also in the Word of God. There, Psalms 103 says, forget not all his benefits. Mm-hmm. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Now, if he said all, he meant all. He didn't leave none out. There's not anything new out there that God can't heal you of. There's no incurable disease out there today, anywhere in the world, that God cannot cure. Praise God. I feel the Lord in that.
Praise
I feel
God.
The Spirit of God right here
Amen.
In my home. I feel the anointing of God. Praise God. I feel it tonight. He's a healer tonight. He's a deliverer tonight. He's a savior tonight that'll save you from everything that you need saved from. If you're hooked on tobacco, cigarettes, snuff, dipping, or whatever you're hooked on, God has the power that thing has got to leave. It's got to leave if you'll put your trust in God. You know, people don't think it's sin. That's why they keep doing it. They don't think it's sin, but what if it is sin? What if you're gambling on eternal life? What would you give in exchange for your soul? You cannot afford to trade your soul for a pack of cigarettes or another shot of Jack Daniels or something like that or another joint, you know, that they smoke, the dope and that kind of thing. You must come clean with God. And I don't want you to miss out on heaven. I don't want you to fall short and not make it in. I don't want you to come up there and they say, no, you can't come in. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And I don't want to be mean, but I don't want you to be lost. I love you tonight. I want you to get free. And that's another point that I'm getting ready to go to, is whomsoever the Son sets free is free indeed. And, you know, we can be free. We don't have to be bound. We can be free. And over in John chapter 8, let's look over in John chapter 8. I've got some scriptures marked there. And in John chapter 8, it's talking about Jesus is talking to the seed of Abraham, which they thought they were the seed of Abraham, but they really weren't the seed of Abraham. And let's see what I got here. John 8:31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Now I want you to notice that word if. If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. I will let that go for a minute. I want to turn, but I want you to know here that he said the servant abideth not in the house forever. In other words, if we're practicing sin, we're gambling. I mean, maybe it is and maybe it ain't. You see what I mean? Some people is in that area where they say, well, maybe this ain't sin, or maybe it is or maybe it ain't. Well, if you think it might be, I'd say you better leave it alone, because you could miss heaven. You could miss making it in to the kingdom of God when this life is over. And you could, that mansion that we sing about and we talk about, I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it, I'll tell you. I want to make sure my record's right. And I want to turn also now to John chapter 17 in the 17th chapter of John, and in John 17 and 14, we'll begin right there, 17 and 14. I have, let's see, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And notice that scripture. That's the 17th verse of chapter 17. He said, thy word is truth. So you see, truth comes by hearing the word of God. And faith comes by hearing the word of God. And the word which we preach is the word of faith. In Romans chapter 10, I believe it is, verse 8, it talks about the word. We might get to that here in a minute. Thy word is truth. That's very important. The word that Jesus brought to the, he was not only the living word, but he came, the words that he spoke, he said in verse 14, I have given them thy word. He's talking to the Father. Jesus is praying to the Father here, and he's getting ready to go back to the Father, and he's telling the Father, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world. Once we get the word of God in us, we're going to be different from the world. We're not going to act like the world acts and do the things that the world does. We're going to be separated. We're going to be sanctified. Verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Now Jesus had to obey the word, the Father's word. Everything the Father told him to do, he did it. He had to do it. Now, we need to be doers of the word, not hearers only, because if we stay in contact with God, we're going to have faith. In verse 20, he says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. In other words, I'm sending them forth, and they're going to preach and tell my word, and whoever it is, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. So I'm kindly teaching tonight more than preaching, and I'm kindly going a little bit slow tonight, but I'm going to get off here for a minute, let somebody else have a chance to say what they've got to say, and maybe get back with you later.
Praise God. At this time, we want to encourage you to call in at 347-989-8862. And at this time, we want to have Brother Timothy Dockery come in, and he's going to give us a song all the way from Madisonville, Tennessee. Praise the Lord.
When you feel you can't somehow you kneel down and pray. That's when faith steps in. When all seems lost, there's no hope inside, then still you sing on through the night. That's when faith steps in. Faith brings joy and peace in the midst of a storm. It sends out a lifeline when you're tossed and worn. When you say goodbye to your dearest friends, and through tear-filled eyes you say, I'll see them again. That's when faith steps in. When you take your last breath in this world down here, and you close your eyes without any fear, that's when faith steps in. Faith will carry you where feet have never trod, simply to heaven, into the arms of God. When you open your eyes to the heavenly scene, and you realize it isn't a dream, that's when faith will end. When you gaze on Him face to face, and you rest in His sweet embrace, that's when faith will end. That's when faith will end.
Praise the Lord. Brother Timothy?
Yeah.
We sure appreciate you. I want you to know that. And we thank God for your singing. And you're a great blessing to me and Brother Green. And I just wanted you to know that. Would you like to testify?
I would like to say that I'm glad that y'all gave me the opportunity to sing on here, and that the work that y'all is doing on here and everything.
Praise God. We appreciate you all, and thank you all, too, for showing us Blog Talk Radio. And at this time, we're going to have Brother Yearwood. Are you and Sister Betty, are you ready?
Yes.
Praise God. Go ahead, brother. Obey the Lord.
Okay. We're speaking tonight about faith, and I feel like the Lord has laid this upon my heart. Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, praise God, let's look into the verse in the seventh verse there. Now this was, the seventh verse, it says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and because became heirs of the righteousness which is by faith. You know, Noah there, it had never rained. Only way the earth ever got any water then was up, just kind of like a dew coming up. But, you know, praise God, by faith, Noah moved. Whenever God warned him there, God told him, repair an ark, said, there's going to be a rain come, and I'm going to destroy the earth, and I'm going to destroy everything that's upon the earth. And praise God, you know, Noah, he began to move by fear, and he built an ark by faith, knowing that God had done told him what he's going to do. And, you know, my friend tonight, we can look at something. We can say there in the 11th chapter, verse 1, it said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Noah, he had never seen no rain, but he believed God. He took God's word by faith and began to work. My friend, tonight I'm here to tell you, God said, Noah, he said, I'm going to put a rainbow in the sky to tell you that the rain and the flood's over. I'm not going to destroy this earth no more with water, but the next time it's going to be destroyed by fire and brimstone. That's the message that we're preaching today. By faith, that praise God, if we don't accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, one day after a while, how are we going to have fire and brimstone rain down on us? The place will be destroyed then by fire. My friend, I'm telling you tonight, by faith, you better get a hold of somebody. You better get a hold of Jesus. He's willing. He's standing there waiting, my friend, to accept your cry. He's standing there waiting on you to call out on his name and say, Lord, have mercy on me as a sinner. Praise God. He said over there in the Romans 10 and 13 that whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My friend, tonight, you've got to call upon the Lord by faith. You've got to accept him as your Savior. You've got to know beyond every shadow of a doubt that your sins are wiped away. All the things that you used to do pass away. Paul said, behold, all things pass away, and I become a new creature in Christ Jesus. My friend, tonight, by faith, you can accept the Lord. You can reach out and say, Lord, come into my life, and the Lord will come in. He will change you. He will make you new, and he will let you have something living down on the inside of you that you can feel. Praise God, I wouldn't have a thing that I couldn't feel. And by faith tonight, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. One day after a while, whenever he calls, I'm going to listen for him. And whenever he calls, I'm going to answer. And I tell you what, I'm looking forward to hearing him say, well done. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you rulers over many things. God is going to do that one day by faith. Hallelujah. Let's look into Hebrews 12 and 2. Says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him entered the cross, endured the cross, despising the shame, and it sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah. You know, by faith, Jesus spoke to us And I tell you, he's the alpha and the finisher of our faith tonight. My friend, we're going to have to accept him if we want to make heaven our home. And it's all done through faith. You can't buy it. You don't have to worry about giving any money for it. All you've got to do is just be willing to accept the Lord as your personal Savior. Just be willing to say, Lord, come into my life and change me. Make me whole. Confess your sins to the Lord. You do all of this through faith. My friend, you do it. You don't have to worry about having a pocketbook full of money or a big banking account. You don't have to have a thing in your pocket. As Peter and John there, praise God, they were men of God going up to the temple there in the third chapter of Acts, going up there just to praise the Lord. But they said, silver and gold have I have none, but such as I have I give unto thee. And he reached down and got that man by his hand that sat daily at the gate of beautiful, expecting of alms. But praise God, that man expected to receive something there. And that day, whenever Peter and John was entering into the temple, praise God, they give him. He give him something. They give him Jesus Christ, and he accepted it by faith. If he hadn't accepted it, he would still been sitting there. But praise God, he jumped up. He went leaping and rejoicing, going into the temple of praising God. And the people, the scripture says, saw him, and they knew him because they passed him a lot of times sitting at that gate expecting to receive alms. But praise God, they received something that night. Praise God, they received Jesus. And I tell you what, that's what we all need to do, is just accept what the Lord has for us. This is something that you don't have to pay for. You don't have to have silver and gold, but you can just reach out by faith and take Jesus Christ and let him be the author and the finisher of your faith. Hallelujah. Let's go down into Matthew 17 and 17 there. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithful and O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. You know, praise God, that was all done by faith. I tell you what, Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed from him that very hour. And you know, let's look into 19. It said, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why thou not we cast him out? Why, you know, they're asking the question, why couldn't we cast these out? And Jesus said in the 20th verse there, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence and to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. You know, Praise God. This is all done by faith, my friend. Tonight, we have the power that we can do anything that we need to do that's in God. We have to have the faith. We have to believe the words that we speak that it's going to happen. I thank God the scripture that Brother Green brought out there a while ago in the 16th chapter of Mark about the word, the believer shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I believe tonight if we believers lay hands on anything, on anybody, I believe that they're supposed to recover. I believe God is still God. I believe he's still going with us, working and confirming signs with us just like he did then. I believe he's still the same because Hebrews 12 and 8 said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He don't ever change, my friend. And if he worked with them then, he's still working today. Jesus is still the author and the finisher of our faith. What can we do? We can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. If we will only hold on to the faith and believe that what we ask, whenever we pray, God will do it. I just praise God for an opportunity tonight to obey the Lord. I praise God for everything that he's done and what he's doing here on this broadcast. And Betty's got something she'd like to say, Sister Green.
I would just like to say it's good to hear that sister's testimony, and I just thank God that she came on with us tonight. And I've got a few scriptures, and it's on different kinds of faith. Great faith, Matthew 8:10. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Little faith, Matthew 8:26. And he saith unto them, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Dead faith, James 2:17. Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. And here's another dead faith, James 2:20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? Precious faith, 2 Peter 1:1. Simon Peter, a servant of an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Humble faith, Luke 7, verse 6 and 7. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, "Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof." This man didn't think that he was good enough to have Jesus come to his home. So verse 7 says, "Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word," in other words, "speak the word, Lord, and my servant shall be healed." Mark, this is on United Faith, Mark 2:5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the palsy, he said to the, wait just a minute, let me start over. Mark 2:5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." He said their faith, that's United Faith. Okay, Sister Green, I'm done.
Praise the Lord. That was great, Sister Betty, and Brother Yearwood, all that was wonderful. Brother Green was good thing this is recorded, because we'll go back and get to hear those again, Sister Betty, what you just read off there, because Brother Green was just writing as fast as he could. So that's what's good about Blog Talk Radio. They record this, and people can listen to it afterward. They can listen to it a week from now, a month from now, and years from now. So that, praise the Lord, that was really good. That's wonderful. God is good. If you'd like to call in, be part of this broadcast. I encourage you, I want you to call in 347-989-8862. We need to remember Brother Eddie Bolton. He normally comes on with us. It's been a while now that he's not been able to be on. He's down in his back. So pray for him, and also pray for Brother John, Pastor John Samples in Georgia. He normally comes on with us too, so be in much prayer for them. And also my cousin Mike Bragg, he says remember his family and remember his oldest son, his name is Mike as well, needs God to come into his heart. He's lost in this world. And then he tells us that he loves us, and we love him too, him and his wife, Charmin. They're a blessing, and they're always turning in prayer requests and praise reports. And speaking of praise reports, we've been praying for a long time with Sister Kim Turner. And, you know, they were unspoken requests, but on Monday it come to an end, and it had been a three-year trial that she and her husband and family was going through, and praise God, it's over. And she said God moved on their behalf in that, so she's given God all the glory. She privately messaged me the other day, and I just wanted to tell y'all, because we've been asking for prayer for Sister Kim Turner and her family, and I always want to give God the glory. I don't want to be like the other nine lepers that never went back and told Jesus thank you. So I'm saying it over the air that we thank God for answering prayers through the request that's been coming in. And I'm going to play this song here real quick. It's a long song, so I won't play the entirety of it, but it's called I've Come Too Far. So I hope it blesses you. By Nancy Harmon. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Sing it out. I come too far.
Praise God. And I tell you what, I just feel the Holy Ghost all over me. And if that doesn't excite you, then like Brother Yearwood, I'm going to use what you say. The firewood is wet. And if your firewood is wet, I encourage you to get a dose of the Holy Ghost. And get yourself down on your knees and pray that you'll feel the Lord. We sing a song, Let Me Feel Your Spirit, one more time. And you know, that's what Samson said when he was between the two pillars. He asked the lad to let him touch the two pillars. And he said, remember me one more time. So if you haven't felt Jesus in a while, I encourage you to pray. And God's Spirit will surely comfort you, because he said to comfort that he must go away expediently for your sake. He said that I'll pray the Father that he'll send another comforter. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Greater works shall ye do. He says, the works that I do shall ye do also. Even greater works shall ye do. So we've got a big job ahead of us, and there's no retirement in this. We can't quit now. Pastor Billy Wilson, he's been pastoring 57 years, and tomorrow's pastor appreciation. And you know, he's 82 years old, and there's no retirement in this. And that's how he believes, too. And we have to keep on keeping on. Brother Sam Marlowe, he's gone on now to be with the Lord, but he used to say, keep on keeping on. Praise God.
Amen.
And Sister Gladys, are you still there, sis?
Yes, I'm here.
Can you
yes.
go ahead and tell us about your church and the service times and the address there?
Yes, our church is called the Abundance of Rain, 6367 Route 60, Salt Lake, Kentucky, 40371. We have Sunday school at 10 a.m., preaching at 11 o'clock on Sunday, and then we have Wednesday night service at 7.
Praise God. And this is recorded, so if you didn't get to write that down, you can listen to the archived copy of blogtalkradio.com/the Macedonian call if you need to go back to that and write that down. If you're in that area and you need a church to go to, we encourage you, Brother Pastor Wayne Gifford, the pastor, and he's the man that preached. The Lord used him the night I got saved. Again, that was June the 29th of 1993, 20 years ago, and I'm still holding on more than ever. Praise God.
Praise God. Amen.
And Sister Gladys, you've got more scriptures. Sis, go ahead and obey God.
I do. As a child, I used to have a fear, sis, of dying or growing old. But I'll tell you what, when I went through that experience with the brain surgeries, God brought me out of that. I don't fear death any longer. I know that there's hope in the end of our time. And I want to go to 2 Timothy in chapter 4, verse 6 through 8. It says, for I am now ready to be offered. This was Paul's hope. He said, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. The final scripture I had, sis, was 2 Corinthians 5:7-8, and it says, for we walk by faith, not by sight, for we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. When we're absent from this body, we're with the Lord. And I praise God for that. I have that hope today. And as I laid in that hospital bed at times in one of the final surgeries, there was a bone on the left side of my brain that had gotten infected. They removed the bone and cleaned it out, then they put it back in. But then when they did that, they came to me one day and they just said, we're going to have to remove that bone. But I praise God that even though they told my husband with the staph infection I had, I still had believers. Brother Gifford was one of them. And I praise God for faithful saints that will come and pray with you, that has the faith of God to reach the throne room. I thank God
that he reached down from the throne room and he delivered me. They told my husband I had a 30% chance to live, but I'm living proof. I'm a walking, talking miracle that he is the restoration God, and he's brought forth healing to my body numerous times. I thank him for that. I no longer fear death. I had a peace about me, and my mother was worried sick, and my family didn't know what to do, but I told my mother, I said, I'm ready to go. Yes, my children are here, and I'd like to raise them, but I know my God is a true God, and he'll deliver for me. I had a nurse or a doctor come into my room, and she knocked on the side of the room, and she said, let's knock on wood. And I thought to myself, honey, I don't knock on wood. I reach out to the Father, and I knew that I knew that my God would deliver me, and he raised me up off that deathbed, and I praise him. That's not the first time. That was the first time, Sister Green. But then there was another time that I faced death. But I had trust enough in my God that he had raised me up off that deathbed, and he did. And I thank him and I praise him that I'm not the same as I used to be. Like that song said, I've come too far. I have come too far. And I know the deliverance power of God, and I believe that pain that I went through and the suffering I went through, I believe God has placed healing in my hand, and that when I lay hands on the sick, it won't be anything I do. It'll be the anointing hand of God that reaches down. He said we could lay our hands on the sick, and they will recover, and I give God all glory. And that's all I had tonight, but I give him the glory and honor, and I thank God for this broadcast because it is reaching the lost and the hurting, and I thank him that they can have hope through the faith of God. They can get in the scriptures, and God will speak to them as he speaks to us.
Amen. Praise God. I tell you, I feel the Holy Ghost all in our living room here, and that's a miracle. That is wonderful. God is awesome. And Brother Yearwood, you want to say something else, brother?
Sister B's got a praise report. You're in a prayer request to Higgins about there, sister.
Amen. I got an email yesterday from a lady that's friends with me on Facebook, and she said, I don't know you, sis, but we're still brothers and sisters in Christ. And she said, I just feel impressed to have you to pray for my pastor and his mother that are having severe pain in their shoulder. And I told Lloyd Ray, I said, I know that God put us together because God knows the pain I've been through with those two surgeries and the 8 screws I had put in my shoulder. So we began to pray for him, and then I felt impressed to send her back an email and share with her about how God had healed it in a revival about 2 years ago. How I had went up to the altar and just started praising God and asking God to heal my shoulder to where I could raise my arm up. So I shared that with them, and I know that God put us together for me to share that, to give that man some faith for his healing. So I just give God the praise for that. And I want you all to remember Betty and Stephanie tonight. They really need our prayers.
Amen. We sure will, Sister Betty. I know, I remember when we met you, you couldn't raise your arm up above your head, and now you're able to raise it and lift it up and praise God with both arms high in the air, and God did give you a miracle. So, we're an eyewitness of that, and we know Sister Gladys Dittmer. I remember the times when she was going through the seizures, and there was lots of times different ones would put on there to pray, and I'd get phone calls to pray, and we would. And thank God those are gone, Sister Gladys.
Amen.
That's amazing. And I didn't know that, sis, that God has healed you from that until just recently talking with you. So there's, like I said, there's Patty Little, there's Ruth Montgomery, and that little girl named Jordan that's still having seizures. So we need to pray. I believe that this miracle, this here broadcast tonight, speaking on faith, that God is going to move. I've never seen so many people with seizures, and until here, here in the years of the 2000s, and
amen.
God is good. God is good. Brother Green, you want to say anything, brother? Go right ahead.
Yeah, I'll say a little bit more here. Well, I was speaking on faith, and I think our sister there read in Mark 11, but I want to say something about that also. In verse 20 and in the morning, 11 and 20, and in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold the fig tree, which thou cursest, is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. I remember one time I was on sick leave. I was working a job, and I went on sick leave, and I had ulcers. And I got down weak, and I couldn't hardly work, and I just couldn't do my job. And went to the doctor. He put me on sick leave, and he put me on some pills, and seemed like I wasn't getting no better. In fact, I know I wasn't getting any better. And I took that stuff the doctor prescribed for about 6 weeks, and my sick leave was running out, and I was going to have to go back to work, and I didn't know what I was going to do. I said, I ain't no better than what I was when I first started on that medicine. And when I first got off work, I ain't any better. And I thought to myself, I said, well, I'm going to go to church. And I spoke it out. I said, I'm going to go to church. They're going to pray the prayer of faith for me. They're going to lay hands on me and pray the prayer of faith and anoint me with oil. And God's going to heal me. And I'm going to come back home and eat anything I want, and I'm going to be healed. And I even went so far, I don't recommend this all the time, but it happened to me. I said, I'm not taking that medicine. It wasn't doing me no good. I don't believe it was. At least I wasn't being healed with that medicine. And I took the Word of God. I took and I said, this is what I'm going to do. I made a point of contact. I said, I'm going to church. I'm going to let the elders pray for me, lay hands on me, anoint me with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. That's what I'm going to do. That was the only thing left I could do. I was taking all the medicine that he told me to take, and I wasn't any better. And I went and done that on a Sunday morning, and they laid hands on me, and I didn't feel anything. I went back to my seat and never felt a thing. But I went home, and I said, I'm healed. With his stripes, I'm healed. Isaiah 53:5 and 1 Peter 2:24, Matthew 8:17. I said, believe God. Did believe God. I quoted those scriptures for 3 days, and you know my stomach hurt me for 3 days, but I said, I'm healed. I said, with his stripes I'm healed, and I quoted the scriptures, and I knew the scriptures. It says, therefore I say unto you, what things ever you desire when you pray, and Mark 11:24 there, when you pray, believe that you receive them and have them. And I stood upon the Word of God, and I was healed. And I'm going to turn it back to Joanna now.
Praise God. Enjoy that testimony. Thank God when every time he moves and heals somebody, we should tell it. And I see we got a new caller in, 937-520. Come in and tell us who you are and where you're located.
Yes, my name is Joshua Moore, and I'm located from Dayton, Ohio.
Oh, praise the Lord, Brother Josh. Tonight we are speaking on faith, but you go ahead and obey God.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I said tonight we are speaking on faith, but you can go as you feel led, brother. I know you're a preacher, and you go right ahead. We know you very well, and we've got great confidence in you. You go right ahead and obey God, Brother Josh.
Well, I figure I'd call in and share my testimony with everybody. Sister Joanna, I know her pretty well, but at the age of 16 years old, I had my first child when I was 16. I was going to school. I was, playing football. I had a part-time job, and, I was trying to take care of my child at the age of 16. during that time of my life, I had enough. I had a lot on my plate. I was ready to commit suicide. I had the knife in my hand, and my mom had walked in on me, and she said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "You know, I just can't take it no more." And that's when I heard the voice of the Lord say, "No, he's mine. He has a work for me to do." And ever since that day, my life has been changed. I've not always been in God's will, but if it wasn't for him and if he removed his hand from me that day, I would not be here. I'd probably be 6 feet under. I'm here to tell you guys, God can change your life around. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here. And God is just amazing. He's wonderful. And I can't live without him. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here today. And I just praise God for that. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that he didn't remove his hand from me. And I serve him every day. I love him more and more. I try to, you know, what can I do for God? You know, instead of, you know, God, what can you do for me? We need to be more, you know, God, what can we do for you? Instead of, you know, God, what can you do for me today? We need to say, God, what can we do for you today? And I'm here to tell you, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here. And I'm so thankful for that.
Amen, Brother Josh. You want to go ahead and tell us where your church is and the services, and if you know the address, go ahead and give it. Somebody might be listening, looking for a church in that area.
We are located at 103 Glady Street, Spring Valley, Ohio. The name of the church is Zion Temple of Deliverance, Pastor Don Warnock.
Praise God. And you're also a minister there, and you evangelize, is that right, in case somebody wants to get a hold of you?
Yes.
Okay, this is archived, it's recorded, so our email is heisrisen38@aol.com. If you want to message me and have Brother Josh Moore, he's a young man, he's a preacher, and if you want to get a hold of him and schedule him to preach for you, we'll sure get a hold of him and get that set up. Praise the Lord. We thank you, Brother Josh, and we've got 5 minutes. Brother Josh and Sister Gladys and Brother Yearwood, let's all pray over these prayer requests that's been announced tonight.
Yes.
Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we
Lord Heavenly Father, Lord, you know the needs right now.
Each and every person here,
Lord. Right now, whatever the need is, Father God, you can go right now, Father Lord. Father Lord, you said by your stripes we are healed, Father Lord. Lord, we just thank you and we praise you, Father Lord. We love you, Father Lord, and we thank you and praise you, Father Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, Father Lord. We thank you, Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus.
Holy Ghost, Father
Lord, we thank you, Lord,
for all you've already done and what you're going to do.
We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you.
It's my brothers and sisters.
Lord, we thank you, Father. Lord, and bless
you.
Thank
you, Father, for all you're doing.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Father, right now,
that is so close to hell, God.
We thank you, Lord. We praise you, Father, Lord. Lord, by your stripes we are healed, Father, Lord.
Yes,
Lord,
is the
heart. We thank you, Father, God.
Lord, while you may be found, Lord, and heaven but call upon you, Lord, while you're near. Lord, you're not far from any of us, Lord. We're asking your mercy to be multiplied and your grace to abound, Lord, in every life, Lord, in the name of Jesus.
Praise thank God. Sister Gladys and Brother Josh, you know, Brother Yearwood, it sure is a great blessing to be able to do this ministry with you guys. Brother Josh, you're welcome anytime to come on with us. Usually post it on Facebook what the subject's going to be for the next week. And, you know, we're reaching over 50,000 people across the world. And the latest that I saw was Guyana, Africa, Kenya, South Korea, and lots of, I can't even, Haiti. a whole bunch of countries over there that we would probably never have the money to go and step foot in, but God has made a way through internet radio. And this is every Friday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And we welcome you, Brother Josh and Sister Gladys. You know that, too, Sister Gladys, that she's planning on being with us often as she can, and we appreciate that so much. And again, we miss Brother Eddie Bolton, and we're missing Brother John Samples, and we'll give them a call here in the next few days. And kind of late to be calling them now, but we got 90 seconds left. Brother Yearwood, would you like to say anything, announcements of any coming up services that you'll be preaching at?
Well, I don't have no coming up services, but we do have this internet radio broadcast on Tuesday nights from 6 until 8. Everybody's welcome to call in there and be a part of that. And then we got a cousin that is having seizures, and Pain Ramsey. So she needs a miracle from God. So when you pray, just remember her.
I will, brother. I'll be praying for her.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Josh, you have any dates set ahead that you're going to be preaching, ministering somewhere?
Not yet. Not at this time. I know it's the end of the year. People are already booked up.
Yep.
But the name of our group, we're on Facebook. It's called God's Manifestation. If you guys are looking for a revival or a night of singing and preaching, just look us up, and Sister Joanna can get a hold of me as well.
Praise God. Amen. Sister Gladys, are you scheduled anytime soon with your church or anywhere else?
Well, sis, I just preached a message last Sunday night or Sunday morning, and God was good.
Amen. And we'll all, Lord willing, we'll all be here next Friday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, so 12 a.m., and we'll see y'all then. Praise God. God bless y'all.
God bless you.
Bless you.
God bless you. Bye.
Bye.